Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Jason Fuchs, who wrote Pan, the new take on Peter Pan starring Rooney Mara. Hi, Jason. I'm so excited about Pan. It looks just amazing, totally spectacular, perfect to see in the theater. How did you come up with this idea? I'm under the impression that this was your own spec script that you decided to write. You just got inspired and went out and wrote this.
That's very nearly the truth. I did not write it as a spec. What happened was I had this pitch that I had wanted to do for the longest time. I was always obsessed with Peter Pan. I got obsessed with Peter Pan at a very young age because you know the Disneyland Peter Pan ride where you go to that miniature London and the flying pirate ship and that whole thing? You been on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got stuck with my dad on the flying pirate ship over the miniature London part of that ride for what must have been 25 minutes. And I was totally in heaven. I remember being up there with my dad, and I had a million questions for him about how Peter Pan got to Neverland, and how he learned to fly, and why people don't like each other so much. And I remember my dad making up answers and me trying to guess and figure stuff out. And I was just fascinated, not just by the Peter Pan story, but also by what came before it, and how the story got to the place it was when we typically get to hear it. And so I was just always thinking about it. And I love the original Disney Peter Pan. I love Hook. I love so many of the retellings. I love the original Barry book. And it was about 3 years ago, I was finishing high school, age four, and I knew that I wanted to do this Peter Pan thing that had been bouncing around in my head for so long. And I got really excited, and I thought, this thing is going to be great. I'm going to sell it right away. Love it. It's going to be awesome. And I went out there to pitch it. I pitched every studio. And when you go to pitch to every studio, it's so exciting. Like, oh my God, go anywhere. And I went into all these meetings, and I pitched it, and I waited for the phone to ring, and everybody passed. And the reason everybody passed was, at the time, everyone had these competing Peter Pan projects. You know, one of the things that's going on, as I'm sure you see, every studio is trying to sort of mine IP and figure out ways to take brands and titles that people know and reinvent them. And everyone had some version of a Peter Pan project to develop. And so I was bummed. I was really bummed because this is my baby. This is the thing I was the most excited about doing creatively. And I couldn't get it set up. So I sort of picked up to that and kept thinking about it. And for next year, couldn't stop thinking. I would pitch this to anyone who would listen. If you were on a date with me at any point in early 2012, 2013, you probably heard me pitch this because I just couldn't stop telling it. And in the sort of early beginning of summer 2013, I had a general at Warner Brothers, an executive there named Sarah Schechter, and she sat me down and she said, if you could write anything in the world, that's what would it be? And I sort of very dismissively was like, well, you know, I'd write this Pan thing, you never want to do whatever we have. She said, yeah, what is it? And I said, well, I'll tell you, but there's no way you're going to buy this. And she said, no, I want to hear it. And I said, okay, well, I have this idea about how Peter Pan got Penguin. And I pitched her what eventually became Pan. And she said, oh, we do that. You can go meet Greg Berlanti. And I went to meet with Greg, who I'd never met, but was obviously a big fan of and respected. Greg heard the pitch, said, yeah, I produced that. And we were off, and I wrote it. In summer 2013, we had to write it very quickly and very secretly because the big fear was that one of these other long-gestating Peter Pan projects would, you know, rear its ugly head and suddenly all the work would be for naught. But I handed it in about 10 weeks, went in at the end of the summer to Craig Silverman, the president of Warner Brothers Production, and very quickly we got the sense that he had a positive response. The studio was excited about it. And I would say about 2 months, month and a half after that, Joe Wright was signing on. And Joe, we had just caught at the exact right moment, and Joe was in a sort of fairy tale zone. He was looking for something like this. Joe now has 2 sons, but at that point, you know, only his first child, his first son, Zubin. I was looking for a movie, I think, that would speak to Zubin, that Zubin could see and enjoy. And he loved the script. Suddenly I got the word that Joe was going to be on board to direct, and things started moving really quickly. And within a month or two of that, Hugh Jackman signed on to play Blackbeard. Suddenly it was like, wow, we're actually going to make a movie.
That's awesome.
We were shooting. It was a very torturous process from conception of pitch to selling the pitch. where it really looked like it wasn't going to happen. But having sold the pitch, it moved at just ridiculously warp speed in a way that I don't think will be replicated on any other product they work on.
That's so cool. And can you explain, just for people, you know, beginners out there who don't understand the business side of it, when you say you sell a pitch, so this production company, Greg Berlanti's production company, bought the pitch from you, and then you were basically writing for them under their direction, or do you go off by yourself and then sort of turn in outlines? Can you just talk a little bit about that process for, you know, for writers out there?
Yeah, of course. So essentially, when you are pitching an idea to a film studio, generally as a writer, you need a producer to be producing the film with you. I think that there are probably some writers. I would imagine Aaron Sorkin can probably set up whatever script he wants without any producer attached. For the most part, for average guys like me, you need to have a producer attached. And ideally, it's a producer that has a good relationship with the studio and has a proven track record of developing successful films for them, so they have tremendous confidence. And at this point in my career, also, this wasn't that long ago, I've never had a live-action movie made. I only written, I think I'd been hired on three separate live-action feature scripts, but I never had one going into production. So they wanted to have, you know, a producer like Greg, who they trust so much, has been so amazing for them. So Greg being a part of it was a big part of the reason, I think, that I was able to sell it. And then in terms of the development, you do go off and kind of write it yourself. You certainly, when you're the writer, you're the writer. You do that first draft, and you do it at a computer alone most of the time. But a producer like Greg is definitely very involved, very much involved in reading pages. What I would do, and this isn't the norm on every project, but I would write chunks of the script as I went. Because we needed to go quickly, we needed to get Greg's notes as I went. And so I would hand in 30 pages to Greg. Greg would read it, give me notes, I'd rewrite, give it to Greg, keep going. If it's the midpoint, rewrite, send it to Greg, etc. So Greg was very involved, and I mean, Greg is just as good a creative producer as you'll ever find in the business. And so many producers want to give notes for the sake of notes, want to give notes to make sure that they have a voice and that they're, you know, they've made an impression on the script. Greg genuinely just wants the movie to be great, and all his notes come from a very creative place. And the thing that I would love to produce at some point in my career, and the thing that I think I learned the most from Greg, is really good producers don't pitch you solutions, they pitch you really smart questions. And so Greg was never sitting down and going, hey, you should have a character do this, you should have a sequence be like that. Greg was always very good about asking me questions that provoked much, much better material, much better answers to questions that I, in some instances, hadn't even thought of. So that, Greg is kind of the ideal partner. But that's often what the development process is like, where you're going back and forth with the producer, getting notes, refining it, getting to a place where the studio can read it. And when I say getting it to the studio, what that, to your listeners, typically means is a team of two executives. So in this case, our executives were Sarah Schechter, who bought the pitch, and Andy Fischel, who was the junior executive of the room, who also bought the pitch with Sarah. And they will be reading your draft and giving you notes. You'll then be going back and huddling with your producer and going, okay, how do we address that? You'll rewrite for them. And assuming that things go well with your executive or executives, eventually it makes its way to sort of the next level, which is the president of the studio. And what happens, that's sort of a big moment. When your script, because not every script you write makes it to the desk of the president of the studio. So when you find out that everyone feels good about it enough to share with the president of the studio, that's a moment. And you know it's going to him, and often when it goes to him, it's a Friday for what they call a weekend read. And it gets put on a list called Weekend Read, where all the executives of the studio have a sort of emailed digest of all the scripts that have been sent to the president of the studio, and they all have the opportunity to read it over the weekend. So at that Monday morning staff meeting, the president of the studio, the state's Greg Tillman, sits down with all the executives, not just your two executives, and says, hey, what did you guys all think of this? I had a chance to read over the weekend, and they all discuss. So it's kind of a nerve-wracking, scary, but very exciting process. You know, it's like the NBA playoffs. You know, that weekend, you're going to the conference finals, what's going to happen? And in our case, I was waiting for that Monday call, and Sarah, I think it was Saturday night, texted me and said, hey, Greg had a chance to read. He really loved it. I think this is going to move forward. And that was a life-changing, a completely life-changing test.
Oh, wow. That's great. Just to talk a little bit about the emotional side of things, did you feel pressure? Like, because this is a story that so many people love, and just, this was your sort of take or window into the story. Did you, you know, did you ever wonder, like, what the fans will think, or do you not let that get to you? You just know you're going to stick to your idea.
I wonder if I was a great fairy tale beloved by fans around the world. Yeah, the thought crossed my mind. I think that, you know, when you're working on a character and the mythology as beloved as Peter Pan and Neverland, what J. Barry created, there's tremendous pressure. There's tremendous pressure, but I feel it less from the sense of people love this story, and more from the sense of I love the story. So I'm definitely aware to a certain extent when I'm writing that this is something that you don't want to mess up, that people have an emotional attachment to, and if you do something that is disrespectful of the source material or distorts it in a way that feels inorganic, people are going to have an emotional reaction and be upset. But I am less motivated by that sense of pressure than by telling how much the Peter Pan story and Barry's book mean to me and not wanting to mess it up for myself. I love the original book. I love the original play. It means an incredible amount to me. So the pressure I felt throughout this process was I need to make sure I don't let 9-year-old Jason Fuchs on that Peter Pan ride down. I know the movie he wants to see. I know the movie I want to make. And so you definitely have that sense. But it's also exciting. It's also exciting because you know you're working on something that means so much to people. And if you get it right, you can really strike a chord and add, hopefully, a really beautiful, cool new chapter to a story that everyone loves.
Awesome.
You have to be respectful of that. And I think, you know, the thing I would say that separates this, or at least I hope does, is that it is driven by someone like me who genuinely wanted to do this because he loves Peter Pan and because I had questions and ideas about the story and its origins. I think that there's so much development right now that is based on fairy tales, positioned as fairy tales and sequels, and so much of it is a top-down approach, meaning studios are so desperate for titles that they can take to their marketing departments and sell that there's an urge to find a way to make these things work. How can we make a Peter Pan movie? How can we craft a fill-in-the-blank fairy tale? And it's not that that can't lead to an amazing result, and I think in many instances has, but I think there's something fundamentally different about it coming from a place of not, is this a movie we can make? Is there a way to make money off of it? But genuinely just a writer going, hey, I feel passionately about these characters in this story. Let me see if I can respectfully sort of further our understanding of that story.
What do you think it is that makes people passionate about Peter Pan? Do you think it's the different worlds? Do you think it's the young boy against this world of, you know, scary characters like Hook? What do you, if you could, you know, distill it down to one central theme, what do you think it is that makes it so captivating?
I think Peter Pan has endured for as long as it has, because it has a very specific, a very different message to its younger audience and to its older audience. I think that as a kid, you read Peter Pan, and kids all around the world are engaged by and excited by the notion of the wish fulfillment, that there is this other world where they can be whatever they want, do whatever they want, fly through the skies, fight the pirates, out with the natives, meet mermaids, and it is wish fulfillment in its purest form. It's a world of total imagination. And the notion that your dreams could in some place be real is really kind of exciting and revolutionary at a certain age. And so, I know for me, that was the excitement as a kid. It was, wow, anything I dream up could be possible in a place called Neverland. That's a cool idea. As an adult, I think it's about something a little different. I think for adults, it's about valuing and maintaining that sense of childlike wonder. Everyone has a kid in them. Everyone has a little bit of who they were when they were a child. And I think J. Barry and the Peter Pan original book really are for adults who remember that feeling and don't want to lose it. Everyone wants to maintain, wants to hold on to that sense of wonder that they had as a kid that anything is possible, and it's very, very easy to lose, particularly as a screenwriter. and I think that not only for screenwriters, but for adults the world over, that is a message that really resonates very loudly. The specialness of that book for adults, I think, is wholly different than it is for kids, but it's equally important. And so that's why I think that Peter Pan is one of these evergreen properties, it's one of these evergreen titles that in every generation, whether you're 9 or 90, there's something really special about that story. And I think that one of the things that excited me about Pan is that as much as people have loved this story and these characters for so long, we've never really had a chance to discover that world through Peter's eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
You're seeing it through the eyes of Peter, but you're seeing it through the eyes of Peter Pan, right? It's Robin Williams when he's forgotten that he was Peter Pan. He's forgotten about Neverland. So that's the story of rediscovery, which is tremendous. And I think I saw Hook and Peter's 4 times. I love Hook. But for me, there was an opportunity to say, okay, what would this story like experiencing it through the eyes of Peter? What is that first moment when Peter gets to Neverland? What is that first moment when Peter learns how to fly? And I think those are the moments in the film that hopefully are as engaging and exciting to audiences as they were to me conceptualizing it. But I also think that what makes the film special is it really does recontextualize your understanding of the original Peter Pan book and the original Peter Pan story. It is not just making a Peter Pan movie for the sake of making a Peter Pan movie. My hope is that you watch this movie and then go and rewatch the Disney animated movie or reread the book or rewatch them, and your understanding of why the characters are the way they are, why those dynamics are what they are, shifts ever so slightly by knowing how it all began.
So cool. Well, I can't wait to see it and also go back and watch everything else.
I grew up with like Spielberg and Lucas and Zemeckis and that 80s sort of generation of filmmakers. Real world building with very focused narratives at the core of it. You know, Spielberg, I think, does that as well as anybody, where you have a big, great canvas with extraordinary places, but a very universal, very focused, relatable story at the core of it. And so this movie, to me, I wouldn't dream of putting it in that sort of pantheon of films, because those are the greatest films of all time, in my opinion. But what it tries to, you know, what it tries to learn from those films, what it tries to ape, is that sense of creating a story that's very personal, very grounded. In this case, Peter, an orphan who's just trying to find his mom, and then putting that relatable story against the canvas that is Neverland as realized in a way I think people have never seen it, because Joe. Because Joe is this kind of unique, brilliant, mad scientist and a visionary. Are you a big Joe Wright fan? He's out of his mind. He's amazing. So taking that and unleashing it on the scale of a big studio tentpole commercial film with the world of Neverland, it's kind of mind-blowing. And Joe also, interestingly, comes from a very different reference point filmically than I do. You know, Joe is not a Star Wars guy. Joe is not a Zemeckis guy. Joe really is a very kind of serious, artistic filmmaker who makes these very adult movies, Coleman and Hannah. And so his whole thing with his approach to this movie was, I want things to feel real. Not only in terms of story and character, but in terms of the physical look of the film. I think Joe really is sort of struck, and not in a good way, by the over-CGI-ness of so many of these big movies. And I don't necessarily disagree. I actually enjoy, you know, like Osbury Powell, but I really love Maleficent. But there is something about movies like that where the world is so clearly CGI and so clearly generated in a computer. And Joe, from the very beginning, was clear that he didn't want to mimic that look. He wanted to do something very different. And the result of that was us building the largest sets I have ever seen. I mean, you've got to see the set photos. We shot at a place called Cardington. We shot at 2 studios, Leeds and Cardington. But Cardington are these 2 massive air hangar sheds about an hour north of London. It's where Chris Nolan did a lot of the Dark Knight stuff. And, oh, my God. We built 4 blocks of the Neverwood. It was the largest physical set ever constructed in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
It was unreal. And so between building Neverwood and building pirate ships, we had the whole constructed pirate ships in one shed over. You leave the Neverwood if you can somehow make your way out of there. and you'd walk into Shed D, and there were pirate ships. So it was this very extraordinary physical, practical effort to construct the world of Pan that really, I mean, that was Joe. That was Joe, and we have this brilliant, brilliant production designer, Aline Bonetto, who built a really unique version of this world that I think people are really going to enjoy seeing.
Yeah, I guess you could, you know, the actors can see it, you can feel it, you can touch it. It's just so much different than the green screen. I totally agree, and I can see how that would translate the scenes better and all the dialogue. And that's just amazing. I can't wait. I think it's going to be spectacular when it comes out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. I'd love talking to you. I'd love to talk to you for your next film, too. And I know you've only got a ton of bigger and better things happening, so let's keep in touch.
I would love that. Yeah, please come see the movie. I really think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. Take care. Talk to you soon.
I appreciate you hopping on the phone with me. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.